everyone. Welcome to AI Special Report. I'm Skylar Monroe. I run an AI research lab at a FAANG company, and this is where I break down the biggest stories in artificial intelligence for the people who are actually building, investing in, and leading through this moment. Quick shout out to our sponsors, Ada, which helps clients integrate AI into their workflows. Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your go-to for silicon development consulting from AI to SoC, and Zen Semiconductor, an umbrella company with a whole portfolio of silicon industry companies, plus Ada for deploying AI at scale in any business, and their Glow Accelerator that makes AI models run faster and cheaper. Today, we've got a lot to dig into: a former Intel CEO betting on Lightspeed chips, Anthropic dropping Opus 5, a startup that hit a job posting and AI tokens on a billboard, energy IPOs going crazy, and Meta trying to actually be useful. Let's get into it. All right, first up, Pat Gelsinger. You might know him as the former CEO of Intel, and before that, a legendary engineer who basically helped define the modern processor era. Well, he's back, and he's got a vision that sounds almost sci-fi, using light, tiny beams of light to jumpstart Moore's Law and power the next generation of AI. So let's unpack this, because it's genuinely fascinating. Moore's Law, for anyone who needs a quick refresher, is the observation originally made by Intel co-founder Gordon Moore that the number of transistors on a chip doubles roughly every 2 years, which historically meant computers kept getting faster and cheaper at a pretty predictable clip. The problem is that for the last decade or so, that pace has slowed dramatically. We're bumping up against the physical limits of silicon. You can only shrink a transistor so far before quantum effects start causing serious problems. So where does light come in? What Gelsinger is talking about is photonics specifically, using photons instead of electrons to move data around inside and between chips. Electrons are great, but they generate heat, they have resistance, and at the speeds and densities we're pushing now, they become a bottleneck. Photons, particles of light, don't have those same limitations. They can carry vastly more data, much faster, with a fraction of the energy cost. Now, photonic computing and optical interconnects are not brand new ideas. The research community has been poking at this for decades. What's different now is the urgency. AI workloads, particularly training large language models and running inference at scale, are absolutely brutal on hardware. We're talking about moving enormous amounts of data between processors, between memory, between servers. That's where the bottleneck is. It's not just compute anymore, it's the interconnect. It's the bandwidth. And Gelsinger, being the hardware guy that he is zeroing in on exactly that. The idea is that if you can replace copper interconnects with optical ones, even just for the highest bandwidth links, you unlock a massive jump in what's possible. You reduce power consumption, you reduce latency, and you potentially give AI systems room to scale in ways that the current architecture just can't support. From my perspective at the lab, this is a story I watch really closely. When we're designing systems for training frontier models, the interconnect topology is one of the first conversations we have. NVIDIA's NVLink, Google's TPU interconnects, these are not afterthoughts. They're central to the architecture. So the idea of photonic interconnects coming into that mix? That's not a moonshot anymore. It's an engineering roadmap. What I'd want to know more about is the manufacturability story. Silicon photonics has been almost ready for commercial scale for a while now. The challenge is integrating optical components with standard CMOS fabrication processes without blowing up the cost. If Gelsinger's play involves getting that integration story right, pairing his deep industry relationships with a credible path to volume production, that's worth paying serious attention to. For investors and hardware folks especially, keep this one on your radar. Story 2, and this one is very much in my daily life, Anthropic has released Claude Opus 5. Now the headline here is interesting. Anthropic is saying that Opus 5 comes close to the capabilities of Claude Fable 5 in many domains. Let me sit with that framing for a second, because it tells you a lot about where Anthropic is as a company. So Fable 5, for context, is Anthropic's frontier model, their most capable, most powerful system. And traditionally, Opus has been positioned as their premium tier, the most powerful model in the Claude lineup available to the public. So the fact that they're now saying Opus 5 approaches Fable 5 in many domains is actually a really significant statement. It means the capability gap between their frontier research model and their deployed product is narrowing. And that's a good thing for users and developers. This release is also interesting in terms of timing. Anthropic just went through a pretty high-profile moment with the U.S. government. There were some tense weeks around policy discussions, and the company has been navigating that landscape carefully. And then OpenAI had a security incident that dominated the tech press for several days. So dropping a major model release in the middle of all that news cycle chaos is a choice. A deliberate one, I'd argue, from a pure capability standpoint. What I'm watching with Opus 5 is the coding and reasoning performance. Anthropic has been really strong there. Claude models have consistently ranked high on coding benchmarks, and enterprise developers I talk to genuinely prefer Claude for complex, multi-step reasoning tasks. If Opus 5 is approaching Fable 5's performance in those domains, that's a meaningful upgrade for the people building on the API. I also want to talk about what this means competitively. We're in this weird moment right now where the top AI labs are all releasing major models within weeks of each other, and the capability differences are getting genuinely hard to evaluate, like GPT-4 versus Claude 3 versus Gemini 1.5, depending on your task. Any of them can look like the winner. The benchmarks don't always tell the real story in production. What Anthropic does really well, and this is something I'll give them credit for consistently, is the safety and reliability angle. In enterprise settings, it's not just about raw capability, it's about predictability, about the model not going off the rails in weird ways, about being able to trust the output. Anthropic has built a reputation for that, and Opus 5 seems designed to reinforce it. For developers and enterprise decision makers listening, if you haven't benchmarked Claude Opus 5 on your specific use case yet, you should. Don't just read the leaderboards. Run your actual prompts, your actual workflows. That's where the real story is. Check the link in show notes for more on this release. Okay, story 3 is my personal favorite of the week. And honestly, one of the best startup hiring stories I've heard in a long time. Listen Labs just raised $69 million, and the backstory involves a billboard in San Francisco, AI tokens, and a Berlin nightclub bouncer. Yes, really. So here's what happened. Alfred Walforce, the founder of Listen Labs, which is an AI platform for conducting customer interviews at scale, needed to hire over 100 engineers. He had a limited marketing budget, and competing against the likes of Mark Zuckerberg throwing $100 million offers at top talent? Not exactly a fair fight on a normal day. So he spent $5,000, which he described as a fifth of his total marketing budget, on a billboard in San Francisco. And on that billboard, instead of a catchy slogan or a website, he put what looked like random strings of numbers. Gibberish to most people walking by. But to anyone who works with large language models, to engineers who know what AI tokens look like, those strings were immediately recognizable. The numbers were actually tokenized text, and if you decoded them, they led you to a coding challenge. And the challenge? Build an algorithm to act as a digital bouncer at Berghain, the famously exclusive Berlin nightclub, where the real-life bouncers are legendary for turning people away based on completely opaque, almost mystical criteria. It's basically a vibe check algorithm. You had to decide who gets in and who doesn't. I love this on so many levels. First, it's a perfect filter. If you can't recognize AI tokens on a billboard, you're probably not the engineer they're looking for. If you can recognize them, but you don't bother to decode them, you're probably not curious enough. And if you decode them, find the challenge, and then actually build a Berghain bouncer algorithm, that person has taste, technical chops, and a sense of humor. That's a hat trick in engineering hiring. Second, and this is the product signal, Listen Labs is building AI that conducts customer interviews. Their whole pitch is that you can run thousands of nuanced, qualitative interviews using AI agents instead of human researchers. So they need engineers who deeply understand how AI systems have conversations, how to model human behavior, how to make something that doesn't feel robotic. The Berghain Challenge is actually a great proxy for that exact problem space. The $69 million raise validates that investors see real traction here. The customer research and user insights market is massive, and it's been surprisingly slow to get disrupted by AI. Most qualitative research is still done manually, surveys, focus groups, one-on-one interviews. The idea that you could run that at scale with AI that actually listens and probes and follows up intelligently, that's a genuinely transformative product if they can execute. For the founders and startup folks in the audience, this is a masterclass in creative, targeted recruiting. You don't always need the biggest budget. You need to know exactly who you're trying to reach and then design a signal that only those people will respond to. $5,000, a viral moment, and now $69 million in the bank. Not bad. Story 4. Energy IPOs. This one is about money, and a lot of it. The headline from Ars Technica is that energy companies are going public at the fastest pace this century. And the driving force is AI. Investors are hunting for ways to get exposure to the AI boom without necessarily betting on which model wins or which chip company dominates. And energy infrastructure is looking like a pretty clean play. Let me give you the context on why this is happening now. Data centers, the physical infrastructure that runs AI, are extraordinarily power hungry. Training a frontier model can consume as much electricity as tens of thousands of homes use in a year. Inference actually running these models in production is happening at a scale that's hard to even conceptualize. Every time you use an AI chatbot, every time a company runs a batch of AI predictions, that's electrons flowing through a data center somewhere, and the projections for AI compute demand over the next 5 to 10 years are staggering. The big hyperscalers, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Meta, are all committing to massive data center buildouts. And every one of those data centers needs reliable, large-scale power. We're talking gigawatts. In some cases, companies are looking at building or co-locating with dedicated power plants, nuclear in some cases, natural gas peakers, solar farms, you name it. So the investment thesis for energy here is pretty straightforward. Whoever wins the AI race needs electricity to run it. And unlike betting on individual model companies or chip designers, energy infrastructure has a certain durability to it. You're not exposed to the same winner-takes-all dynamics. If Anthropic wins, they need power. If OpenAI wins, they need power. If some new player emerges in 3 years, they're gonna need power too. What's driving the IPO surge specifically is that institutional investors who want AI exposure don't always have the risk appetite for pure-play AI software companies. The valuations are eye-watering and the revenue models are still maturing. Energy companies, by contrast, have real assets, real revenue, real infrastructure. They're bankable in a way that a model startup isn't. From my vantage point, the constraint on AI scaling right now isn't just chips, it's power and cooling.
I have conversations regularly about the physical limits on what we can build and run. Data center siting decisions are increasingly driven by power availability. Some regions are already hitting capacity limits, so this energy investment wave isn't hype. It's responding to a real structural bottleneck. For investors in the audience, this is a theme worth understanding deeply, not just as a trend, but as a fundamental constraint on AI progress. The companies that figure out efficient, reliable, large-scale power delivery for compute are going to be critical infrastructure for the next decade. That's not nothing. All right, last story. Meta is making its AI chatbot more like an actual assistant. And look, I'll be honest, Meta AI has had a bit of an image problem. It's been the AI that shows up in your Instagram DMs and your Facebook feed, but it hasn't been top of mind when people think about productivity or serious AI assistance. Meta seems to be trying to change that. The updates they're rolling out are meaningful. Meta AI is getting access to your calendar, so it can help you plan events, find scheduling gaps, that kind of thing. It's also getting a daily briefing feature, where it can pull together a personalized summary of what you need to know to start your day. And they're adding in-depth research capabilities, where you can actually steer the research as it's running, not just fire off a query and get a static response, but have a more dynamic, iterative process. These features put Meta AI in direct competition with Google Gemini, OpenAI's ChatGPT, and Anthropic's Claude, all of which have been building out similar productivity and agentic capabilities. The calendar integration, the briefings, the research steering, this is the personal assistant playbook, and everyone is running it right now. What Meta has that the others don't, though, is distribution. Like, almost absurd distribution. Billions of people use Meta's apps, Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Messenger. If Meta can get a meaningful fraction of those users to actually engage with Meta AI as a productivity tool, the scale of that is almost hard to comprehend. That's the strategic play here. They don't need to have the best model. They need to have good enough capability with unbeatable reach. The calendar integration is particularly interesting to me because it's the first real step toward AI that has context about your actual life. Not just your queries in the moment, but your schedule, your commitments, your patterns. That's where AI assistance gets genuinely useful and genuinely sticky. Once your AI knows your calendar, your preferences, your communication style, switching costs go up dramatically. The research steering feature is also worth noting. This is a nod toward what the industry is calling agentic AI, systems that take sequences of actions, check in with you, adjust based on your feedback, and complete complex tasks over time rather than just answering one question. Every major lab is racing to make their AI more agentic, and Meta joining that race with these features signals that they're not willing to cede the productivity assistant market to the pure-play AI companies. What I'll be watching is whether Meta actually surfaces these features in a way users discover and engage with, or whether they get buried in settings menus and forgotten. The hard part of consumer AI isn't building the capability, it's getting the habit loop to form. And that's a product and UX challenge as much as a technical one. Meta has a lot of experience with engagement mechanics, so I wouldn't count them out. But they have ground to make up. That's a wrap on today's episode of AI Special Report. We covered a lot of ground: photonic chips, Claude Opus 5, a very clever billboard, energy IPOs, and Meta getting serious about AI productivity. AI Special Report, brought to you by Ada, Ago Consulting, and Zen Semiconductor. If you enjoyed this episode and want more tech coverage, check out Unzip, another show in the Ada Podcast Network that digs into the broader tech landscape in the same kind of depth we bring here. Subscribe to AI Special Report wherever you get your podcasts, leave us a review if you've got a minute, and share this with someone who's trying to keep up with everything happening in AI. All the links and details from today's stories are in the show notes. I'm Skylar Monroe. Talk to you next time.